Welcome to the HealthLink Pridecast, the official LGBTQ health podcast of CenterLink. In each episode, we bring you news and ideas on key health topics, including stories for and by our network of 300-plus LGBTQ community centers. So let's get ready and learn lots.
One thing I'm really excited to see from the All of Us research and use it in our work with LGBTQ youth is really more information about young people's mental health and how people are addressing those needs or not, and maybe some differentiations between different identities within the LGBTQ community, such as trans communities, non-binary communities, so that we can better serve them and make sure we're addressing their needs.
And that was Amanda Keller of the Magic City Acceptance Center in Birmingham, Alabama. Amanda was speaking about the visibility being brought to LGBTQ health by the All of Us Research Program, something that we're going to get into a lot more today. But first, let me introduce myself and this new version of our podcast. My name's Corey Pratnik-Rincon. I use they, them, theirs pronouns, and I'm the Director of Health Equity at CenterLink. And, you know, you may have known about our previous podcast, the LGBT Wellness Roundup. This new version, the HealthLink Pridecast, and this is only our second episode, is designed to really go more in-depth in topics that are especially important to LGBTQ community health. You may know that CenterLink is the community of LGBT centers. We have over 300 LGBTQ community center members here throughout the U.S. and beyond. And with this new format that we're doing for the podcast, we're going to be able to explore topics in a more in-depth way. We're going to be working with members of diverse LGBTQ communities from coast to coast to bring you more original content. And we're going to really work to highlight the work that our LGBTQ centers are doing, making this content relevant for people who are working at our centers, people who utilize our centers, and really anyone who's interested in LGBTQ community health. We're excited to have you here with us on this new journey. And if you do have suggestions of things that you'd like to see covered in a future episode of the podcast, or just any feedback at all, you can always email us at healthlink@lgbtcenters.org. Now, without further ado, let's move on to this episode's topic, the aforementioned All of Us Research Program. All of Us is a federal initiative that's aimed at creating a health database that includes 1 million plus diverse people who sign up to share in a very secure manner some of their health information. The data that's being collected includes basic things related to people's health conditions, but also includes some really cool stuff like genetic data and questions on the social determinants of health. Those are things like housing, food, healthcare access, so that they're able to put all of this info together and really get a holistic view of people's health versus just looking at a medical condition or just looking at an issue like housing, just looking at genetics. You're able to put it all together. So super cool. And the reason why we here at CenterLink are so excited about this is that they're really trying hard to include LGBTQ folks in an intentional way. If you know anything about LGBTQ health research, if you've ever done any research, read any research, talked to people who do research, one of the first things that usually comes up is that we don't have all of the info that we want. There are a lot of gaps out there, and that's because most health research, including a lot of the big programs and studies, don't ask people about their sexual orientation or gender identity. That's been changing over time. I can definitely say, as someone who's been working in this field for, I guess, 12 or 13 years now, that in that period, the amount of research has grown exponentially, but there are still huge gaps. And it's especially difficult when we want to go and look at subpopulations within the LGBTQ community. For example, looking at Black and Latinx folks or looking just at trans individuals. Oftentimes when we are included in studies, the numbers aren't big enough where we can really make generalizations for any particular subgroup within the research data set. So All of Us is looking to change this and create this huge health database that's going to be very available to researchers, already is available for the data that's collected so far. And we're seeing a lot of cool research come out of it just in the first couple of years. And that's only going to grow. So we're very excited to contribute to this work. We here at CenterLink have been participating for a few years, and we have several of our member centers who have been working in their local community to get people educated and excited about this initiative, and ideally get them to sign up to participate. We already heard from Amanda at the top of the podcast, and if you heard our preview episode a week ago, you also would have heard from Tay at LGBT Detroit, another one of our centers. Next, let's turn to one of Tay's colleagues at LGBT Detroit, Maria Knott, who's going to explain a little bit more about what this initiative means to her.
What I've learned from working with the All of Us Research Program is that it takes a village. This meaning that we are all responsible for not only educating ourselves, but other folks in the community when it comes to our health. For example, an individual like myself can think they know their body so well and refuse to even consider other medications just off the simple fact of, this has been working for me for such a long time, so there's no sense in changing now. But just like everything else in life, there are always improvements being made constantly. And knowing your blood type can really help you make the best decision for your health. There's a lot of stigma in this line of work, and it's important that we as a team break that cycle. As a Black gay woman, I will continue to work with the All of Us program to ensure that my community will rise and be a part of this research.
I really like how Maria talks about how this takes a village. That's true at the local level, and it's also true when we look nationally at all of the different organizations, whether it's community centers, hospitals, other groups that work with folks in the community, health centers, who are all working towards this common goal of increasing what we know about our health and working to reduce inequities. And on that note, let's hear from Priya Kumar at the Sacramento LGBT Community Center, who's going to talk a little bit more about what that kind of national network and those connections mean to her and to her center.
One thing we've enjoyed about working with the All of Us Research Program is connecting with other centers across the country. It's great to connect and learn about the similarities and needs, and great to just have that dialogue with them. One thing we've learned from working with the All of Us Research Program is the importance of being included in this research to ensure more inclusive data where we all will benefit from. Another thing we are excited to see is new research on trans folks across all ages. It's so important to have this type of research to ensure we have accurate information and are able to educate folks, especially in a time where there's so much misinformation being spread and hateful rhetoric surrounding transgender healthcare. We're hopeful that the more research we have, the better informed the public will be, and this will lead to more affirming care for our country's most vulnerable individuals.
Later on, we're going to hear from more of our friends at our centers. We're going to hear from someone at Brooklyn Community Pride Center, as well as Pride Lines in Miami. But first, I recently sat down to interview Dr. Scott Emery Moore, who is a researcher ambassador with the All of Us Research Program, which means he helps explain why this initiative is so important to researchers and how researchers can become engaged in this. Scott's also an assistant professor in the Francis Payne Bolton School of Nursing at Case Western Reserve University. Scott's program of research examines the influences of biological and psychosocial dynamics, including differences based on sex, gender, and minority identities. Scott, who uses he or they pronouns, incorporates multi-level and integrative analytic approaches to improve our understanding of the impacts that systems, community, interpersonal, and individual level factors have on aging, health, and well-being among marginalized adults. He has research expertise in quantitative and mixed methods, decision making, and he also has clinical and interventional experience working with marginalized populations, including sexual and gender minorities. Let's listen in to what Scott had to say about the All of Us research program from the perspective of someone who does research in this field. Okay. Did you get the approval for the recording?
It didn't even ask me for approval. It just went ahead and did it.
Oh, it just told you. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Here we go. So hi, Scott. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. It's great to have you here.
It's great to be here.
All right, let's start that over here. We're off to a good start. I didn't tell you I was going to do that. So I'm just going to say welcome and you can respond and then we'll go on to the first question, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. So great. Thanks so much for being here, Scott. We're really excited to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, I really appreciate the opportunity to continue to talk about this important work.
Great, wonderful. We do too. So let's get started then with a little bit about why the All of Us Research Program is so important to LGBTQ health research.
Yeah. So first and foremost, if in the past, we've had a long history in the United States of not including questions about sex and gender identity in our national surveys and national health studies. There's been a long history of this problem where sexual gender minority individuals go uncounted, and that aspect of their identity is unrealized in these larger data sets. And so this particular data set actually is focused on being as inclusive and as holistic as possible when trying to capture the different aspects of identity, place, history, ethnicity, a wide variety of different aspects of the experiences of life, health, and illness that individuals have. And I think that's really important because we realize that our identities as sexual and gender diverse individuals are not solely related to our health and well-being. That while we may experience things like minority stress attributable to our identities or the people or the reactions or policies or experiences that are associated with those identities, it is not solely that experience that results in these outcomes that are so concerning, like increased chronic illness or increased depression, anxiety, or other aspects like pride or community engagement. So there's a lot of different things for us to understand, and it all really starts with being able to identify and compare sexual and gender diverse folk with people who identify as cisgender heterosexual folk.
Great. Yeah, that's very, very important. And now that, you know, the program's been going on for a couple years, and we actually have some of this data that you're describing, that's so important. Tell us a little bit about the workbench where you're able as a researcher to access some of this information that's out so far based on, you know, what data has been collected to date.
Yeah, so if we talk about the research workbench, the first thing to sort of understand is that it is a very powerful, very secure environment in which we're able to work with this data. And the data from all of us, from the All of Us research program is collected from across the United States. It uses EHR data, it uses survey data, it uses Fitbit and other wearables data. It collects information about sleep. It collects information, including genomic information, as well as lab values and other physical measurements. And you know, if you're an All of Us research program participant, your experience is possibly different from other All of Us research participants in that not everybody has all pieces of information, but all participants' data are gathered together within the workbench, which creates a very powerful, because it uses cloud computing, and very secure because it uses multiple levels of security environment for researchers and data scientists and potentially policymakers and public service experts able to look at the data, identify trends, and possibly even identify differences that may be really important for informing what policies are provided, how we are shaping the types of services that are available in different communities, or how we're helping to improve services if we identify a place where services may not be great. And so it's really important to have a powerful tool like this. And I think it's part of it is the strength is that this is one of the largest groups in the world, and that it's totally based of people living in the United States, and that it includes so many diverse types of data that it really provides us an opportunity to see a lot of aspects related to health that you can't just get from looking at electronic health record data, which is EHR data. And it also can't it can't be sort of understated that the number of people with genomic data continues to grow, and our ability to look at all of this data continues to grow. And that's a really important part of this, because we realize that genes are not destiny per se, and that genes in collaboration with our lived experiences, our identities, and other aspects of each individual person's life impact their health and well-being. And this truly does allow researchers, scientists, healthcare providers, and policymakers to be better informed when it comes to what's really happening in the US with regard to the All of Us research participant sample.
Great, yeah. And one thing that we talked about a lot last year was this whole, you know, looking at people's genetics and all of that. We had a whole interview on that last year, and how, you know, we can look at that and look at all other factors of someone's health and see how those things relate. So definitely really cool. What are some topics that we haven't had too much LGBTQ research on so far? I think over the past couple years, we've seen a lot of gaps closed, or at least not fully closed, but coming closer to closing. There's been a lot more LGBTQ research than there was 10 or 15 years ago. But what are some topics that you feel like still haven't gotten as much research or as in-depth research that you're excited to see this program kind of help to fill out over the next couple of years and beyond?
That is a great question. And I think the first thing that is sort of on top of mind for me right now is really understanding that holistic contextual health factors. And that includes, you know, how does someone's, you know, we've talked about the idea that your zip code can determine your health. And that is true, but it's not solely the zip code itself. We often use those type of bigger ideas to be able to make splashy headlines, but we realize that it is the individual experience. And while you may live in a zip code that may have great health, it could be that environment is totally toxic and full of minority stressors, or that there are oppressive policies that you're having to deal with. And especially now, starting to be able to see this within the sex and gender diverse community, and sort of compared across geographic locations and other types of comparative levels, really gives us an opportunity to better understand health in context. And I think that is something that not only just for LGBTQ plus folk is going to be really important. We're starting to realize that that's super important for all individuals. And I think that when we're talking about the actual like future of where healthcare is headed, it is not solely that we use one biomarker or one aspect of someone that is going to help us to determine these things, because like I said, those things aren't predictive on their own. It is truly about the combination of those things. The other things that I think are really important is understanding is a better understanding of minority stress and how it may be a factor that impacts long-term health, understanding how different experiences of discrimination are impacting chronic disease experiences. And those are things that, while we've had research done and there are growing bodies of research surrounding them, this data set changes the way that we might be able to sort of fully analyze that type of lived experience, because it provides so many different types of data. And the only way that we're able to do this is by having more sex and gender diverse LGBTQ plus individuals not only participate, but be willing to identify themselves in the data as queer or sexual and gender diverse, and to answer honestly about their experiences when they're talking in surveys. And those types of things really do allow us to have a more diverse sample of sex and gender diverse folk than we've ever been able to get in doing simple surveys or telephone calls through listservs or other stuff like that. So I think that's really a super important part of this, is that we're just now starting to realize the depth and value of this super diverse group that is allowing us to have a better insight into what might really be happening in the world, not just in our samples of people that are willing to come forward for some of the smaller studies.
And you lead me perfectly into my last question, which is, you know, typically the folks who follow us here at HealthLink include a lot of researchers and people who work in public health, but also a lot of LGBTQ folks themselves and people who work at community centers who interact with a lot of LGBTQ individuals, some of whom are you know, on the podcast as well this month to talk about their experiences. What would you tell LGBTQ people, you know, say a friend or a family member of yours, you know, as far as why they should join this program and contribute to the research?
Yeah, I think if I'm really honest with you, I would have to first start by saying I am also a participant in the All of Us research program. And that is an important part of me as a sex and gender diverse individual standing up, being counted, and being an active participant in this program, because I want to make sure that voices of people like me and people in my community are heard and are counted, because it truly is important for all voices and all experiences to be represented in this data set, so that we have the ability to make strong and plausible statements about the different aspects of health and well-being that may be affected by social, physical, mental, and economic factors that impact long-term outcomes, things that are important to us. And also, I think each of our experiences are different. And I realize that I am very privileged in my experience of having a PhD and being able to access this type of information. But it also creates opportunities for other people with different types of experiences to not only have access to a diverse sample early in their career. You could be helping a young queer scientist somewhere who is trying to answer questions that are very difficult for them to get samples in their location. And you could be helping to create an opportunity for them to answer those questions, because you can access this free resource rather than having to be concerned with getting a diverse enough sample to be able to answer it within their own realm of influence. And so if I had to tell you this, I feel like it's safe. I know it's probably one of the best appointed and described data sets of this size in the US. And also, it has so much opportunity that, you know, eventually this type of work could be super important to helping to stop health disparities in our own communities. And if we're not counted, then we may not be able to well represent the experiences that truly do impact our own health. And I think that's the crux of it. If I were talking to my friends and they asked me about it because they were, you know, they were interested in it or they saw something about it, and I would definitely tell them that I think it's worth their time and effort, and that in the end, while it may not create a direct benefit to you for your health, it could save the life of someone coming out at 13 and you know, South Carolina, or someone who is struggling with a variety of different health issues and may need some type of intervention that this could inform. There's just so many different opportunities that this could support that it's hard for me to say that there's just one reason why you should do it, other than being counted is super important. And if there's anything that we've seen, it's really that type of inclusion is really important in science and especially in informing policy and practice, because that is what a lot of times our research is used to do, whether it be used in direct, citation of that work, or whether it just be the inspiration needed to push someone to seek a policy that would be helpful. Both of them are super important. And I truly believe that the All of Us research program has the potential to support that in a safe and effective way for people.
Great. Well, I think you've made a great argument for me. So if anyone else who's listening feels the same, I want to encourage you to visit joinallofus.org/LGBT. where you will find some specific information, beyond what we just heard as far as why this is so important for our community. And you'll also be able to sign up and join. So thank you one more time to Dr. Scott Emery Moore for joining us this month to talk to us more about this. We really appreciate you being here, and happy Pride.
You too. Thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to seeing the continued representation of our community in this very important resource.
Thanks again to Scott for sharing what this program means to him as a researcher. And before we wrap the episode, I also want to turn to two more of our LGBTQ Community Center colleagues to learn what research they're excited about to see coming out of this initiative. Let's start with Brooks Nicolosi of the Brooklyn Community Pride Center.
One thing I'm excited to see new research about using All of Us data is the prevalence of ongoing discrimination among LGBTQ+ folks and its potential correlations with various health outcomes. All of Us utilizes the Everyday Discrimination Scale, developed by Dr. David Williams of Harvard University. It is one of the most commonly used measures of discrimination. Those who frequently experience discrimination score lower on this scale, and lower scores are associated with a myriad of negative health outcomes. I hope that the inclusion of this scale, along with other social determinants of health data and biometric data, help to further elucidate LGBTQ+ health.
And finally, let's hear from Daniel Malloy of Pride Lines in Miami, Florida.
One thing, let's call it an umbrella theme, that we here at Pride Lines Miami are very much interested in learning more about utilizing All of Us research and data as the roles that intersectionality and therefore inclusivity have to play in LGBTQIA+ healthcare. You know, we know that research on adverse social determinants of health should also consider the intersections of LGBTQ+ identities. Especially if they are marginalized identities. So through All of Us research and data collection, we hope to be able to explore this area more and deconstruct, really, these societal complexities. We think it's crucial for developing comprehensive strategies and quality responsive healthcare that address the specific needs of diverse LGBTQ+ populations.
Well, we've officially come to the end of episode 2 of our HealthLink Pridecast. Don't forget that if you have content that you want to see in this new podcast, you can email us any feedback that you have at healthlink@lgbtcenters.org. Thanks for listening, and stay well.